John chapter 4. Again, great to have you today. John chapter 4. We have been through Nicodemus, that you must be born again. And then we come to Samaria, to the well, and found that Jesus had a conversation with a woman at the well. And that's what we're going to be talking about today as we look at this precious word. And so John chapter 4, we're going to begin reading with verse 24 down through verse 39. So John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said to them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and continue through this study. I just pray, dear Lord, and hope, dear Lord, that there is no one here that has not trusted in you. And if there are folks here, Father, that have not recognize that they're a sinner and lost, that today will be the day that they will call upon you and be saved. Because, dear Father, you tell us in your word that today is the day of salvation. And as we just have sung that beautiful hymn, the Bible stands, and we need to stand upon your truth. You are the truth. You're the living truth. Lord Jesus, please, that you will guide and lead us today, and lead all that are lost. Just bring them to you, that they will call upon you as this woman does here. And please, dear Lord, that you will teach each and every one of us, saved or not, you will learn from you today. There should never be a time that we come into your house that we don't gain something from you. And we should gain much, because we have so much to learn. Please touch every heart now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We've had quite a conversation between the Lord Jesus and this woman of Samaria. And as we continue through this study, we find that most the Jews of the day, most of the folks from Samaria of the day, and most folks of today worship the same way, and it is not of the Spirit by a Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the sad thing is that today most follow more Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. If you would turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15, and read that. Let me read that verse of Scripture as you follow along. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. And sad to say, here's the way most people today believe that they worship. This people draweth nigh unto me, Jesus is speaking here, with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It's man's style of worship, the way that man believes that we ought to worship in song and in preaching. It is not taught by, and the foundation that we have, most do not stand upon the Word of God. Most do not stand upon the Lord Jesus. And so, sad to say, the Jews followed that of their day. They followed their own giving of their offerings and their sacrifices. They followed the feasts. They had all of their traditions that they had added in. And that's what they believed in and put their whole life and their eternal life. They placed it into that thought that it was right. Well, it was not right. The woman of Samaria, she says, you know, we worship up in the mount, and you worship in Jerusalem. Well, Jesus didn't answer her whether there was one place or another better than the other, because he said there's going to be a time very soon, and now is, that we will worship God in spirit and in truth. And so we need to see that we follow in spirit and in truth. You know, God is an eternal spirit from everlasting to everlasting. Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And that's what we need to understand, that we serve a living God. And our living God is a spirit, and so the only way we can serve Him and praise Him and know Him is through our spirit. And when you become born again, as He called Nicodemus to do, you must be born again. The Spirit of God comes to live within your heart. And then and only then will you begin to understand His Word and the truths of it. And so please that you look to the Word of God. We looked at the word must in verse 24 of this fourth chapter in the close of last week, and I'm going to repeat that because there's some things that you must do, that you must do. And one is that you must be born again. And another must was that the Son of God must be lifted up. You'll find that in 3:14. 3:7 of John is you must be born again. But here in John 4:24, it is just as much a requirement, once we're born again, that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so there are some musts of the Word of God, and we need to stand upon the Word of God and look at that and know those rules and know that we must follow them. Because if you're not born again, you're not going to understand the Word of God. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross and was crucified there, died there, and then was buried and 3 days later rose again, there is no life for you. Because it's the only way is to believe the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And once we know that, then there's only one way, and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so please, surrender to Him your heart. Let your heart follow the will of God. What beautiful verses of Scripture. True worship can only come to the redeemed, those that are born again. That is the only folks that can do it. Worship Him again with our heart, that new heart. Worship Him in spirit. We come together into this place. And again, this place, it says Parkview Bible Church. But it's just a building. It's just a gathering place. And the only time it becomes His church is when we are here. And that's the only time. And so please that you don't miss being here into His house to come to be together with other believers. This woman of Samaria, it's surprising what she knows. And I don't know if you noticed that when we read this last week, and we even read it the week before. But did you realize that she knows more than the Jews? She seemed to know as much or more than what Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, knew. And let's look at that verse here of 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Let's look at what this woman knows. She knew that Jesus was coming. She knew he was coming. It seems that all the Jews missed him. But she, this woman of Samaria, knew he was coming. And she not only knew he was coming, she was looking for him. Oh, we should always be looking for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's going to come soon. As the rest of these verses of Scripture that we're probably not going to get to today, but the rest of these Scripture verses that speak of the harvest, and it's white into harvest. The time has come that we need to be serious about the work, because the days are numbered when he is going to come and get his church. And of course, we know that he'll meet us in the air to accomplish that. But this Samaritan woman, somewhere along the line, she had gained some good, what we call the Old Testament teaching. She had learned some good Bible teaching somewhere, somehow. Even though she was confused of where they were to worship, yet she still knew the Word of God. She not only knew that he was coming and that she was looking for him, she knew him by name. And she said, his name is called Christ. So not only did this woman was looking for his coming, excited about it, know he was going to come, she knew him by name. And she also knew him that he was going to be the greatest teacher when he come. And look at these. Look at the 25th verse. I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. She knew an awful lot about the Messiah, didn't she? Look at the testimony that this woman has given, even though we know that she has lived quite a rough life, a rugged life to the standards of the Jews and the standards of living up to the law. And yet Jesus come to seek and to save those that are lost. He did not come to condemn, because, my friend, we're already condemned. We are already condemned. Jesus doesn't have to come to this earth to condemn us, because we're condemned already. He come to save. And we need to open our eyes and our ears and our minds and most of all our hearts unto our Lord and recognize that we're a sinner and we're lost and we need a Savior. The Jews, they were looking for a king to come and to rescue them from the reign and the burden that Rome was putting on them. That's what they were looking for. But this woman, she knew that the Messiah was coming, that he was all-knowing, and his name was Christ. What wisdom this woman had. Let's look at just a couple of steps here. And you know, I want you to see that she had learned this, and again, from what we call the Old Testament. She would have called it the Bible, whatever name that it possessed at that day. It was a Word of God. And she knew that, and she had learned those things. Jesus, when he approached her, he asked for a favor. And she didn't give it to him. Would you give me a drink? And she says, no. And then Jesus told her that if you knew who you were talking to, that you would ask of me for a drink, because I have living water. Then the woman, through the Lord Jesus saying that, expressed that she would like to have this living water. Next, we find the Lord Jesus showed her her sin. Says, go get your husband. She says, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you know, you have said right, because you have had five husbands, and the man that you're living with now isn't your husband. And so Jesus exposed her sin to her. And then there come the question about where to worship, and Jesus just went right over that because there was no reason to deal with that. But he did declare that there's a place to worship and a time, and that time is now to worship in spirit and truth. The next, in verse 26, is one of the greatest revelations that anyone can ever receive. And this statement that Jesus makes to this Samaritan woman is a statement of power, of strength. Because you see, she said, I want the living water. Then he showed her her sin. And now next comes this 26th verse. I that speak unto thee am he. Seven words. I that speak unto thee am he. This statement was not made to Nicodemus so clearly. This statement was not made to any of the Jews. The statement was not made to Herod when he stood before Herod. It was not made to Pilate when Pilate had the hand that was going to come down and declare him to be crucified. But he did to this woman that he had met at the well. And he had said these most wonderful words, I that speak unto thee am he. There is nothing greater than to hear the words and to accept the fact that he is God. She is looking. She was looking for his coming. She knew his name. And she knew that he would tell us all things. And Jesus didn't wait one more minute. But he said unto her, I am he. What a day. What a glorious day. What a wonderful day. This poor, sinful woman, Jesus says, I am he. You know, that's exactly the place that everyone that is born again has come to. They have come to the place that they know they're lost in their sin. They're condemned already. But all you need to do is recognize that he, Jesus, is the Messiah. It's that simple. You know, some folks have all the words that you need to say, you know, please invite the Lord Jesus into your heart to save you. And you must say the right words at the right time. And the question always comes, you know, did I say the right words? You know, did I really mean it like I needed to? Oh, Jesus wants to save you. He is ready to show himself, to reveal himself to every sinner. And show himself fully and completely that I am the Messiah and I'm ready to come into your heart and save you. So you see, please don't worry about the words. Don't worry that, well, I wasn't saved in church, I was saved out somewhere else. Well, if you folks know my testimony, and most of you do, that I was saved halfway between the house and the Pharaoh's house. That's where I was saved. Where were you saved? You know, it doesn't matter. What it matters is there was a day that Jesus said to you, I am he. And that only comes when you recognize who you are and who he is. And we find this woman of Samaria finding that out. What a revelation. What a statement. What glorious words. And you know in the scripture it's seven words. Seven is the perfection. It's complete. Well, this is complete. I that speak unto thee am he. What a wonderful showing of grace. What did Jesus do to bring this woman to that saving knowledge? What did he do? Did he perform miracles? He surely did when she was saved, of course, but to bring her, he did not heal someone. There was not, as Paul's day, there was not this bright light that shined down on the road to Damascus that brought him to salvation, that showed him the light of the Lord Jesus. But this woman, all she had, that's all you need. It's all I needed was God's word. That's all it is. The truth. Worship him in spirit and truth. But the word of God, the truth, is what brings us to him. And that's what has brought this lady unto the Lord Jesus, was just these words, I have living water. Then she comes to a place where she says, I want this living water. And then we come to the next step where she says, I know he's coming. I know his name. And I know he's all-knowing. And at that point in time, Jesus says, I that speak unto thee am he. What wonderful words. Because you see, this woman was standing before the great I Am. And today, we serve a living God. He says, well, if I could see Jesus today and stand beside him and have this conversation as this Samaritan woman had, I would believe too. Well, my friend, it's the same Spirit that is present today, even though our Lord and Savior is not physically here. He is at the right hand of the Father. And it's the same Spirit that touched this woman of Samaria that can touch your heart and will if you'll just surrender to him and to listen. These wonderful words of our Lord always can deliver faith so that you can believe. You see, we're condemned. We have no hope. And without our God calling us, we can never be saved. That's the reason that today is the day of salvation, because if God's calling you, showing you're a sinner and calling you to the Lord Jesus, you need to come today. Because if you don't, that call may never come again. It's not by your choice, your decision. It is whosoever will. No one is exempt. But God names the day. He only calls so long. He may call till you're 100 years old. I don't know. But today may be the last calling. And I'm thankful when this Samaritan woman, and you'll notice, it wasn't the words that she said. It's what she did that shows us she trusted in the Lord. It's proof. It's proof. Now, something happens here. We have the disciples coming, and they couldn't quite understand. They had a little problem with race because why are you talking to this Samaritan woman? You know, you're a Jew. We're a Jew. What are you doing here? And nobody asked, but they were sure wondering why this was going on. Well, we know that our Lord will open the door for you to share the gospel with family and friends. God has opened the door today for you to hear the gospel, to be saved, not to tarry one more day. That old devil throws a lot of things, and if these disciples would have shown up just a little bit earlier, the time may not have happened that Jesus could have said, I am He. So we could use my most favorite words that I use often. Wasn't that lucky? Wasn't that just lucky that the disciples didn't get there at that time? Now, you know, I never use that word, or very seldom. I don't believe in luck, but I believe in my God that knows today and knows tomorrow and can give us what we need for today and will give us for what we need tomorrow. And if you don't know Jesus, He'll give you salvation today if you'll call upon Him. That's what you must do. You need to do that. And so as these men came, they didn't hamper because it should have shown these disciples that Jesus meant what He said when He said, whosoever will, because He was talking to this Samaritan woman. So He shared His word with everyone. And we need to know that whosoever will, and the rest is up to you. Whosoever will can come. The proof is in the 28th verse. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot. Left her water pot. We've kind of decided that this water pot full of water probably weighed somewhere between 40 and 50 pounds. Now, Aaron gave me the insight this morning that they do put a pad on their head, and as if that would help to carry a 40-foot water pot on your head. I suppose it would take a little of the hurt away, but not much. Can you imagine setting a water pot upon your head, holding that thing and carrying that, and it's somewhere between 10 and 15 pounds was the pot, and then you fill it with water. I don't know how big it was, but if it held 4 gallon of water, I suppose. I don't know what it held. But that's what these women did. That was her burden. That's what she did. Every day and several times a day, she would come from her village and where she lived, and she would come and draw water in Jacob's well. And she would fill the water pot, and then she would go back home. But this time when she returned home, she forgot something. What'd she forget? She forgot her burden. She forgot her water pot. You know, when we look at the Word of God and see these beautiful verses of Scripture, we need to understand that when Jesus saves, He lifts our burdens. Now, did she come back another day and draw water again? Yes, she did. But this day and this time, she had something much more important. She had something to say. She had something to say. That's the proof. She didn't care about that job. She didn't care about water that she was going to have to draw day after day after day. She didn't care about her burdens because she had just met Jesus. Now, was she saved back when she asked the Lord, give me this living water? Or was she saved right here where He says, I that speak unto thee am He? We don't know and we don't care. What we care about is that she did get saved. She is born again. She knew when it was. And that's all that's important. Our God knew when it was. And that's really, truly all that's important. That she was born again. She left her water pot. And then when she left this water pot, then she had something to say. And she said that she left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? How do you tell people about Jesus? Do you have, you know, all the right words, and you've practiced it so you speak clearly? No. All you have to do is say, I have found the Messiah. come and see. That's all we have to do. Come and see. This God of the Bible that I've heard of all my life, I have finally met, and He's in my heart. Will you come and see? That's not an invitation to church necessarily. It's an invitation for salvation, to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity that we have to look to the Word of God. And as we look at this proof, what was literally poured into the soul of this woman when she got saved came out. So once again, it's proof that the more we search the Word of God and study the Word of God, when we're born again, it comes out. We want to tell people what's happened to us. Now, do you shout it from the rooftops? Maybe. Do you speak to your closest friend? I hope. Do you tell some stranger? Yes. Do we tell our family? Yes. And do they all say, oh, yes, as this woman said, I want this living water? Sad to say, no. But as the rest of these scriptures tell us, and we're going to deal with those next week, some sow and some reap. Some sow and some reap. And when you sit down and have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone, chances are there was someone else told you about Jesus. And then you come along or I come along and we tell you about Jesus again. And by that time, you're ready. The Spirit of God has dealt with your heart and shown that you're a sinner and you need to come. Now, does that take years? Sad to say, many times it takes years. It shouldn't. It's not God's fault it takes years. It's our fault that it takes years. We've got to get self out of the road, get pride out of the road before we can say, oh, Lord Jesus, yes, I am a sinner and I need you. It didn't take this woman years. It took her minutes. It took her minutes to hear about the living water and say, I want it. It took minutes for the Lord Jesus to show him to her and say, I that speak unto thee am he. What wonderful words. There is a time that we need to lay our burdens aside. There is work to be done. And we know back in Hebrews chapter 12, and I will close with this scripture verse, Hebrews chapter 12. And if you're familiar with this scripture, why, you know that it's the walk, the race. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This woman had something to say, and she wanted to say it quickly. And she set that water pot down, and she went running back to her people. I want you to come and see. I want you to come and see. That's all we have to do. We all got family members. We got friends. We got folks that need Jesus. And you maybe need Jesus today. So please, I just invite you to say, come and see. That's what the woman at the well said. Come and see. Come and see. Could they sense something different in her speech? Could they see something different when she come? She didn't stop by to get all fixed up before she went. She didn't stop and fill the water pot and go home and then decide she's going to tell somebody. She left her water pot and she went straight to her people. Say, I think I have found the Messiah. He told me everything. And according to her own testimony, when he comes, his name is Christ, and he'll tell you all things. And he's just told me things that nobody knew. He wouldn't have known. This is the Christ. I know the Christ. I've come by faith to him. I love proclaiming his word. It's more exciting every year, every day, every month. Because I know my Redeemer liveth, as Job tells us back in the book of Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that should be words right there that excite our hearts to tell people about Jesus. That should excite your heart to come today and trust in the Lord Jesus. A couple small steps here, and yet very large steps to meet Jesus personally. She did. You can too today. So please come to Jesus and trust in him. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you today that we are able to come in to this place and come and be the body of believers. And almost always, Father, when we come together as a body of believers, there are folks that are not believers. But Father, thank you for bringing them that they can hear, because maybe no one else, no other place, could they be today to hear your word proclaimed. We just walked very slowly as we witnessed the woman of Samaria accepting your salvation and then immediately going about to tell. And she set her burdens aside immediately because there was a work to do, and that work was to proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. She didn't understand everything. Jesus had not been to the cross yet. But she knew this man to be the Christ. He's told me everything. Please, Father, just touch the hearts of everyone here today. Touch all of our hearts. Don't leave one untouched. Speak to those that are lost, do not know you, that they come today. As we sing this hymn of invitation, it's just a wonderful time for us to have you touch our hearts. Have you already accepted Jesus earlier today? As we started the service, will you come forward and accept Jesus at this time? When were you saved? The Samaritan woman, was she saved, Father, when she asked for the living water? Or is when you said, I am he? That's when she responded. That's when we see the proof. But Father, the important thing is that you're saved, born again. Please, Father, touch every heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.